pray. God, thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. God, thank you for chasing us. Thank you for your faithfulness. God, as we meditate on your word today, open our eyes so that we can see what you're saying. Give us ears so we can hear what you're doing. And give us hearts to respond. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, crack them open to John. We are in John, verse 20, or chapter 20. We're going to be starting in verse, let's go 29. Oh, no, let's go 19. Actually, let's get a running start. So up on the screen, go ahead and click to the next slide, but I want to get a running start for this one in verse 18. So verse 18 tells us that Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that they had seen these, or I'm sorry, and that he had said these things to her. So Jesus died, really died, spear inside. Pastor Scott talked about that on Good Friday. Spear inside, when blood and water separate and flow out. The Roman soldiers did that because they didn't want to accidentally leave anybody alive and put them in a tomb. The Romans were great at killing. Jesus was dead, period. 3 days later, the tomb's empty and nobody knows why. Jesus shows up, says to Mary Magdalene, the disciples see the empty tomb, but Jesus talks to Mary, and Mary tells the disciples that Jesus is risen. That's the running start up to this. Now, on the evening of that day, Easter Sunday, but at night, on evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked because the doors being locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews. Now, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw him. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them, or he spirited on them. Breath and spirit are the same word. He spirited on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold the sins of any, they are withheld." Isn't it weird how when you read a scripture in the NIV for like your whole life and then you switch to the ESV, you mess up words? Here's the deal. There is all kinds of baggage attached to forgiveness. Are you with me? Anybody struggle with forgiveness? Yeah, and then we have these lies in our culture. Forgive and
forget.
Which, by the way, is totally impossible. In fact, in the Psalms, it says God, and this is where we get that really bad teaching, God remembers our sins no more, but one of the paraphrases said God forgets our sins. No! The Hebrew on this is beautiful. It actually says God remembers not to remember our sins. God actively puts together, remembers his not remembering our sins. That sin that you did isn't who you are. I'm not going to attach that to you. But sometimes when I wake up in the morning, that person who hurt me, I'm still going to be ticked. I'm still going to be hurt. And I actively enter into a process where I remember not to reattach that sin to them. See, here's the deal. That's what forgive is. Go ahead and click to the next slide. The word forgive means to send away. It's a compound word, a phiemi. It means to send away. Because here's the deal. Either we send the sin away, without the person, or we send the person and the sin away. That's what forgive means. Forgive means I am not gonna keep carrying this thing. A lot of us are tormented carrying ways we've been sinned against. Somebody said it well this way. They said, carrying somebody else's sin is allowing them to have a party in your head rent-free that you're not invited to. Anybody else live with that? Come on now. Now, catch this. Forgive means send away. And that's why what Jesus is doing here is really, really interesting. Go ahead and click. And this is what I underline in my Bible. Jesus looks at him and says, as the Father is sending me, right? The Father sent Jesus from heaven to come to earth, be born as a baby, to live a perfect life, to make disciples, to die on a cross, and to rise again. That's what he sent him as. As the Father is sending me on a mission, so I am sending you. Hey, church, we have a mission to make disciples. And what's one of the first ways we make disciples? Hey, forgive. 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 People are not defined by that mistake they made. People are not defined by the way they hurt us. We are defined because our identity is in the risen Jesus Christ. Now's where it gets really, really fun. What's the mistake that the disciples had made? The most recent one. See, it's the way we put the headings in later, and so we miss the running start. Who are we talking about today? Thomas. Does Thomas have a nickname? Yeah, Doubting Thomas. I'd like to give him the nickname Bum Rap Thomas. Thomas, by the way, is Hebrew, and it means the twin, which John points it out that his other name was Didymus, which is Greek, which means the twin. Which raises a huge question that the Bible doesn't answer at all. Who's the twin? Like some theologians have gone nuts and they're like, no, this is Jesus' twin brother. Yeah, I actually read that on the internet. So the takeaway from that is don't believe everything you read on the internet. You know who said that? Abraham Lincoln. No, who was his twin? Was it a real biological twin? Did he have a twin brother? Or was he a dude that just, you know, it's like, oh, this is my boy, he looks like me. We don't know, which makes it really, really fun. Another thing we don't know, let's click to the next slide. Oh, sorry, I was going to ask this earlier. What are you holding on to? What are you carrying? I didn't ask it explicitly, but I wrote it down because I didn't want to. One of our things is we're carrying a lot from this last year. We're carrying a lot of hurt. We're carrying a lot of guilt. We're carrying a lot of shame. We're carrying a lot of loneliness. What's it look like to forgive that, and how do you step into that? Now, some of you just need to walk out right now and spend some time by yourself asking that question, but I'm going to keep preaching, so you won't offend me if you just walk out. So check this out. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Where was he? What was he doing? That's what I went. I'm like, it's Passover, his twin brother's in town, they're hanging out. You know, could be, we don't know. Could it be that he actually believed the women? He had faith when the women said Jesus is risen, and so he was out trying to make disciples while the other disciples, the 10 of them, huddled in the upper room afraid? Could be. We don't know. We don't know. It's this fascinating thing. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands, the marks of the nails, and place my fingers in those marks of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will never believe. Now don't miss this. So that probably wasn't out making disciples because he trusted the women. Could be. Could be. Don't miss this. Our faith often functions like that. Where we're on fire 1 second, and another second we're doubting. Where we're going to get it right this time, and then we take one to the chin, where we say, Lord, I will never forsake you, until we're warming our hands by the fire and a young servant girl goes, aren't you one of his disciples? And we say, I don't even know him. And then we hear a little rooster in the distance. All I know is that Thomas did exactly what the other disciples did. He didn't trust until he saw Jesus. He owned it. He said, I don't even know if I can trust my eyes right now. I need to touch the scars in his hand. I need that intimacy that I had with my rabbi 3 days ago when we were eating dinner in this upper room. Fun fact, that's where they believe this all happened, is back at Mark's house in the upper room where they shared dinner. Which makes sense. When you're mourning, you go back to that place where you shared those great times. So Jesus, having heard that Thomas said this, showed up and looks at Thomas and he goes, you punk! Why don't you have faith like the other disciples? Right? That's how we preach this. That's how we get the nickname Doubting Thomas. No, this is what Jesus did when we actually go to God's word. 8 days later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with him. Now, although, that's because his brother left. Now, although the doors were locked, and don't miss one, this is a whole nother sermon. They're locked in a room, and Jesus shows up. Jesus came in and stood among them and said, peace. Not you punk, peace. You don't have peace right now. You're being tossed by the waves. And Jesus says, peace. Peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands? And he put out his hand and placed it in his side. And then Jesus looked at him and he said, do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, check this out, you have believed because you have seen. Not a great line. It's like a duh. You have believed because you have seen. Well, of course. We believe what we see. And Jesus says, blessed. Now remember, blessed means I am with you. If you were to read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, the blessings, the Beatitudes, don't miss this. It's not saying you should strive to mourn. It's saying, hey, even when you're mourning, I am with you. That's what the word blessed means. When we do the benediction at the end of the service and we say, the Lord bless you and keep you, that's not saying, may Jesus make it rain this week. No, it's going, God be with you. Jesus said, you have believed because you have seen. I am with those who have not seen and yet believe. Guys, that's us. We haven't seen Jesus face to face yet, and yet we trust, and that's for us. That's going, hey, I am still with you. You don't see it right now, but I'm with you. Go ahead and click to this next slide. This isn't new. This faith thing isn't new. Flip your Bibles back. This is too good. To the first mention of good in the Bible, the first thing that God made, Genesis 1, 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Let me summarize. God said, God saw, God separated. Let me get analytical. This doesn't work. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was tohu vavohu, formless and void, and what's the word there? Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering. Oh, nope, nope. Don't go there yet. You just gave away the punchline. And the Spirit, so there's darkness everywhere, and God said, let there be light. And then God saw the light, and then God separated the light from the darkness. How in the world did God see light inside of darkness before the light had been separated out of the darkness? If we take this as linear, we miss the plot. Anybody ever been in darkness? Yeah, like real darkness. Yeah, see, I can tell the people who have and the people who, yeah, because you give that nod. My dad took us down to Bloomington, and he decided we were going caving. Yeah, caving, spelunking. Anybody ever been spelunking? Okay, oh, yes, Mom, you were with us. Yeah, Mom knows. You get to this point, and you're going like this, and you can feel the air, but you can't see your hand. That's darkness. Where is there light in darkness? There's not. Until you separate the light out of the darkness. Anybody ever coach a kid's soccer team? No. Yeah. We use these words that are our church's name. We say, man, she's going to be a great athlete. Yeah, she's not. She's tripping over the ball as she's trying to kick it, and she'd be distracted by these daisies up on the stage, and maybe she's eating one or two. But see, what we do is exactly what God does. We see the thing that's not there yet. We see with eyes of faith. Go ahead and put up the next slide. I'm not crossing that out. If you want to get technical, this is a version of poetry called a chiasm. It's called a chiasm because X marks the spot. X is chi in fraternities, Greek. In Greek, chi, X. The thing that's in the middle is what we put the focus on. Everything outside it is telling the story about the thing in the middle. That's the way this poetic form works. God said, God saw, God separated. The key, go ahead and flip to the next slide, is saw. See, in the beginning, the first thing God did was saw with the eyes of faith. Even our faith isn't something God's saying, you got to believe me and trust me. No, God's inviting us to do what God's done all along, because that's how creation and new creation always happens. It always starts with faith. Since the beginning. Now some of you are going, hold on, what's faith? Because sometimes we translate faith as belief, and in English that doesn't work, because belief, anybody go to school? Yeah, belief is intellectual intent. It's I don't believe unless I can prove it by repeated experiments. But man, I got tons of faith in my car. I don't know why when my fob is in it and I push the button, it starts. But Ryan bailed me out this week, and I know that if the fob doesn't have a battery, it doesn't. But man, I never even thought about that. I just exercised my faith in my Jeep. I don't know how it works, but I trust it. See, Hebrews defines it this way, Hebrews 11. Go ahead and flip there, because when you're struggling with faith, Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1, I'll give you a second to get there. Oh, because I got to wrap up a sermon. 10 minutes into one, I'll talk really fast. Here's what Hebrews says. Now faith is being certain of what we hope for. It's the certainty of those things unseen. That's what faith is. And if you want to read, man, Hebrews 11, be a Berean, see all the people who have gone before us to exercise that faith. They didn't have it all together. They messed up in all these ways. But what is credited to us is our trust. And that's what John's talking about here. John closes this way. The next line is, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not even written in this book. But these ones are written so that you can have faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that by trusting, believing in his name, you may have life. How's your faith? Where are you trusting? There's some places and there's some moments where faith is strong. And we own those and we praise God for them. And there's some other places where our faith is weak. Where we pray the prayer, God, I have faith, but help me where I don't have my faith. God, I believe, but help my unbelief. That was in Ryan's devotion this morning. And so if you can just lead us in prayer, brother.